Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
By taking this action last Friday, this Synod of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America has demonstrated itself to be neither evangelical nor Lutheran.
The Obama administration loves religious groups whose doctrinal beliefs align with what it wants to do in the moral, political, public square.
I think what Jesus was saying there on the cross is, I thirst, I desire to drink every ounce of your wrath, O God, so that no people must ever face it.
Wisconsin turkey producers love Issues Etc.
There are those that in the New Testament tend to stay in the spotlight for reasons the authors of these books, good reasons that the authors of these books have. Paul, Peter in the book of Acts tend to stay in the spotlight. The book, The Acts of the Apostles, really isn't about them. Of course, there are other characters as well, one of them being remembered on the 11th of June tomorrow, Barnabas the Apostle. And he actually shares the spotlight with St. Paul quite a bit in the book of Acts. Who is this man? But again, the story isn't about Paul or Peter or Barnabas or any of the cast of characters we find there. The story is still about Jesus Christ. So that's why the church wants to remember every character there, including Barnabas, because they have something to tell us about Jesus Christ. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live on this Monday afternoon. It's the 10th of June. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Dr. Jeff Oswald joins us. For the first half hour, we're going to talk about Barnabas the Apostle, and then Pastor Clement Preuss joins us. We're going to keep going in our series, our six-part series on the task of an evangelist, part three today. There are objections raised by the people that you may speak to of Christ that don't actually come to the fore, won't actually even be spoken unless there's a certain amount of trust. And we're going to talk about that relationship of trust that comes along with the speaking of the message of Christ and his cross. Pastor Clement Preuss will be our guest. Tom Baker joins us in hour two. We're going to tell the story from Joshua chapter two, Rahab the prostitute, who not only figures into this Old Testament story of the conquest of the land, but she actually gets mentioned as one of the female ancestors of Jesus in the New Testament. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-IE. Send us an email right here in the studio, talkback at issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc. Dr. Jeff Oswald is a regular guest professor, associate professor of New Testament, Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Dr. Oswald, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
He's known as a companion of St. Paul, so let's start with what Paul has to say about Barnabas the Apostle.
Well, most people, when they remember Barnabas and Paul, think of the time when they parted company and went their separate ways on two different mission journeys. But focusing only on that event really doesn't give you the whole story, especially in terms of what Paul will say about Barnabas in his own letters. He's mentioned several times in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Paul mentions Barnabas along with himself as a model of an apostle who should have the respect and the rights of an apostle carrying on the work, and sort of distinguishes himself and Barnabas from what we might think of as the Jerusalem apostles, the 12. Later on, later in canonical order, that is, moving to Galatians, of course, there's the incident that Paul mentions about a division between Jewish and Gentile Christians and how Gentile Christians will be welcomed among the new Christian community. And there, in verse 13, he points out that even Barnabas was led astray. On the one hand, of course, that's a very negative comment that Barnabas is led astray by the sort of pressure of this group hypocrisy. But the fact that Paul says even Barnabas, I think, says a lot about Barnabas's character, that here was one who had all along been a champion of the gospel for the Gentiles, the gospel really for all people. And it's, you know, in Jerusalem at the council there, Barnabas still is mentioned before Paul as speaking to the whole group, championing this outreach to all the nations. So although there is that a couple of unfortunate sort of conflicts between the two, the overall picture we get from Paul is that Barnabas is a trusted co-worker, really a senior evangelist, and as someone that Paul looked up to as a model of what an evangelist should be like, although Barnabas, like Paul and like Peter, like all the others, certainly had his lessons to learn.
So rather than being kind of a subordinate to St. Paul, he perhaps in the early church was actually considered, maybe good between perhaps not a senior pastor versus an assistant pastor, but a pastor with a little more seniority than even the Apostle Paul.
Yeah, and seniority may not be the best concept to use here. It was interesting in your introduction to what was coming on the show today, you mentioned the idea of trust. What stands out is that Barnabas is completely trusted in the Christian community. They know him, they respect him, they trust him, and so he's just the right kind of person to introduce someone like Saul of Tarsus to the Christian church, because they have every reason not to trust Saul, even though they've heard stories of his conversion. And so when Barnabas takes him in, actually he does this twice, once in Jerusalem and once in Antioch. That's the foundation of trust that Paul needs then to become a full part of the community as well.
Is Barnabas, in that sense, Paul's initial letter of recommendation?
Yes. And I think that's also why, you know, even when he's writing to the Corinthians, he will mention Barnabas first as someone who has followed a pattern of apostleship very much like Paul's, and one that's been respected by Christian communities around the Mediterranean world. And so if Barnabas is like this, then Paul should be given equal respect, and both of them should be treated like full apostles.
In what sense is Barnabas remembered as apostle, since he is, I mean, people might wonder how that term is being used there, since usually it's applied to the 11 plus one, and then Paul mm-hmm. himself.
Yeah, we especially see Barnabas as one who is sent in Acts chapter 13, where actually then both Barnabas and Paul are set aside not by a church council decision, but by the direction of the Holy Spirit himself to be his messengers to carry this new work. So the Spirit directs this meeting of leaders in Antioch to set apart Barnabas and Saul for the work, the Spirit says, to which I have called them. It's one of the most sort of directly personal references of the Holy Spirit speaking to the church there with the first-person pronoun that you see anywhere in the Scripture. It continues in verse 4, being sent out by the Holy Spirit, and in that sense, Barnabas is one of the sent out ones, one of the apostles, and Paul, in that 1 Corinthians passage, will refer to Barnabas as an apostle. There are sort of narrower and broader ways that term is used. It's not always easy to distinguish in the New Testament the sort of modern categories we often debate about, but Barnabas was clearly recognized as someone sent out by God himself to carry this message to the nations.
Is this the same Barnabas that's mentioned in Acts chapter 4? They're called by two names, one Joseph, sells a field gives the money to the apostles. This is the early account of the apostolic church in Jerusalem sharing all things. But it says there the apostles called him Barnabas. Is it likely the same man?
Yes, he's been regarded as the same man throughout the history of the reading of the book of Acts, and with good reason. One thing Luke likes to do, especially in Acts, is give a brief reference to a character, and then, say, within a chapter or two, he will give a major account of that character's role in the story. So he does that again and again. You see it with Barnabas, you see it with Stephen, you see it with Paul himself. So that's there's good textual reason to regard this as the same man, but church tradition has always regarded them as the same Barnabas.
With that habit of the author there, and with only about 30 seconds here, is that a good reason to regard Barnabas as a character worth paying attention to in Luke's account of the Acts of the Apostles?
Yes, we don't hear Barnabas' voice directly very much. He speaks with Paul when he speaks, and we, of course, don't have any of his letters. But the picture we get of him is that he is a very important leader in the early Christian community. He is the one who helps Paul achieve a full ministry by gaining acceptance by Christians. He is one of the early leaders in bringing together the communities of Jews and Gentiles as followers of the same Lord Jesus. It's also interesting, remember, when Paul and Barnabas are traveling, and they're in Lystra, and the crowd begins to confuse them with Greek gods. Barnabas they regard as Zeus, really the chief god, and Paul then is Barnabas' messenger, his speaker. It's interesting to see the sort of relationship that even a strange crowd assigns to these two figures. But Barnabas, yes, is a very important figure, and I think a very worthwhile figure to study as a model for Christian behavior today, especially that idea of building trust.
When we come back, we'll have a few more minutes with Dr. Jeff Oswald talking about Barnabas the Apostle. There's another character that comes into the story of Barnabas, and that's the character of Mark. It leads to, well, I guess let's call it what it is, not just an argument, but a sharp disagreement, I think, is what Luke says, a sharp disagreement between Paul and Barnabas over whether or not Mark ought to continue with them on one of their missionary journeys. That's all there in the book of Acts, and we're remembering Barnabas the Apostle with Dr. Jeff Oswald on this Monday afternoon, June the 10th. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
This is Pastor Miller of Trinity Lutheran Church in Bay Ridge. We preach, teach, and confess the historic Catholic faith. For a refuge from the pop spirituality and shallow preaching that swirls about in our day, come to our haven at 9020 3rd Avenue in Brooklyn. In addition to Mrs. Solano Sunday School at 9:30, we have liturgy at 11 a.m., followed by a fellowship meal and Bible study after the service. You're invited to come and be a part of Trinity, a biblical and sacramental church. Visit trinitybayridge.org.
Can God save people any way he wants? Is Jesus the only way we know of? I've written an article for the latest Issues Etc. journal titled, What God Cannot Do. You can read it by subscribing to the Issues Etc. journal. Just look for the subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Pastor John Fraser details his journey from the subjective introspection of decision theology to the objective saving work of Jesus. The online Issues Etc. Journal.
You're 4 days away from the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The Virtual Organist Service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.
What happens when you take solid doctrine and solid curriculum and combine them with ancient scholars and modern technology? You get Wittenberg Academy, the very first completely online classical Lutheran high school. We are unabashedly Lutheran and offer families a rigorous standard of academic excellence. Students can pick and choose classes, or they can utilize our entire curriculum for their high school education. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Dr. Jeff Oswald is our guest for a few minutes here. We're talking about Barnabas the Apostle. He's Associate Professor of New Testament at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Dr. Oswald, I had one other question with regard to a character that's remembered along with Barnabas and Paul, and it's hard to talk about those two men without talking about Mark. And what is it Luke leads us to believe leads to this sharp disagreement between the two apostles over their assistant, Mark, and what's the outcome of that with a few minutes here?
Yeah, it's very difficult to tell originally what happened when John Mark left the company of Barnabas and Paul. We're simply told that he left. In Acts 13, verse 13, they had moved from Cyprus onto the mainland and were setting, reaching ground at Perga, heading toward Antioch in Pisidia. And it simply says John left them and returned to Jerusalem. After the Jerusalem Council in chapter 15, when the work of Barnabas and Paul has now received the right hand of fellowship, the endorsement of the Jerusalem leadership as well, Paul suggests to Barnabas that they go and revisit the places where they had been before and see how these Christian communities are doing. It's at that point, and this is Acts 15, now verse 37, that Barnabas wants to take with them John called Mark, John Mark, whom we learn later is a cousin of Barnabas. But it says, Paul thought best not to take with them one who had withdrawn from them and not gone with them to the work. It's really difficult to interpret exactly what that means, both what was going on in John Mark's head and what was going on in Paul's head. Does he not want to take with them someone who's new, who wasn't there when they did their initial work of evangelism? I think that's a possibility. I think tradition tends to think more that John Mark is a kind of a quitter, or that there was some difficulty or hardship that he didn't want to face, and so turned back, and so Paul found him untrustworthy. Later, Paul will speak of John Mark in more than neutral terms, more positive than simply neutral, when he says, if John Mark comes to you, this is in Colossians, welcome him. So regard him as a co-worker, give him a welcome, don't treat him like a heretic or an outsider. So it's very difficult to put all those pieces together and figure out what happened. But again, you see the issue of trust among co-workers and perhaps even the question of being well-suited to continue the work in a particular area.
So finally, with just a minute or so here, when we think about this man regarded as a trustworthy servant, as a trustworthy apostle, trusted with the message of the gospel, Paul trusted him as a companion, and he is the one who brings Paul into the trust of the apostles and to the rest of the church. What is the best way to remember Barnabas the apostle?
I suggest, I think he would probably most like to be remembered as a follower of Jesus. We see his whole life shaped by this gospel message that he proclaimed. He comes from a distant land, although he has close connections to Jerusalem and to the life of the worship of the God of Israel. And yet we see him first putting his possessions at the disposal of the Christian community to care for the needs of fellow Christians, and then we see him as one who's devoted his life to traveling around the world spreading that gospel. One last interesting point that I think reinforces this from the perspective of early Christians is that very early on we see an attempt to connect Barnabas directly with the ministry of our Lord. There's an interesting variant reading in Acts chapter 1 that of the two possible replacements for Judas, the one Joseph called Barsabbas, in one manuscript, that's Joseph called Barnabas, so that he was already a part of the circle of followers. And it's interesting that even though I don't think that's the right reading for the text, there are other early Christian traditions that say he was actually the same person as Matthias, the one who was chosen. And in the second century already, Barnabas is regarded as one of the 72 who goes out in the Gospel of Luke to proclaim Jesus. Now, none of that is historically verifiable, but I think it supports the point that when early Christians looked at Barnabas, they saw someone whose life had been thoroughly reshaped, thoroughly transformed by his encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. The text itself gives us the impression that happens through the word, through the gospel message. It's certainly not impossible that Barnabas had also known the Lord Jesus during his earthly ministry. But in remembering Barnabas, I think that's the thing that stands out most to me, especially from the readings in Acts, that here's a man whose life was shaped by his service to the Lord Jesus.
Dr. Jeff Oswald is Associate Professor of New Testament at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Dr. Oswald, thank you very much for your time.
Oh, thank you, Todd. It's my pleasure.